Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be talking about public health impacts, mostly birth outcomes, associated with the changing birth trends in Los Angeles County that took place starting in 1990. And I have no relationships to disclose as well. So just basically to provide some background, we started noticing that in about 2008, 2009, that births in Los Angeles County were really dropping among the LA County residents. And we were interested in finding out if this was kind of a unique phenomenon, so we started looking and comparing with rates for the United States. And we actually noticed that birth rates in the United States were at replacement levels since 1970 or so, and have continued since that time. And so we just basically, we were interested in seeing how our births were different in Los Angeles County from the rest of the nation and California. And that's how we started this analysis. This is a graph of the number of births in Los Angeles County from 1940 to 2020. And as you can see, there's a lot of variation. And you might be able to estimate when there was a return of soldiers from the Second World War, and when there was the introduction of modern contraception, and also larger numbers of women entering the workforce. In California, in 1986, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act, which allowed undocumented workers to become legal residents. That happened in 1986, and as a result of that, a lot of the partners came to live with their spouses, and there's a little bit of, and this may explain some of the boom that took place between 1985 and 1990. Since 1990, the number of births have fallen quite a bit, and the California Department of Finance is estimating that it will be plateauing and slightly increasing in the future. So the objective of the study, it's a pretty descriptive study, is to dig a little deeper into the trends of births in LA County, looking at maternal age and maternal race, ethnicity, and nativity, and also to look at the birth outcomes that are associated with some of those trends. And I'm just going to talk briefly about the public health interventions and some policy considerations. So the methods are, again, they're pretty simple. We calculated birth trends, mostly age-specific birth rates and the total fertility rate. And we also calculated the percentage of births that had certain outcomes. So, and there was ratios as well. So most of us are familiar with age-specific birth rates. Total fertility rates are used a little bit less often. And basically, they're the average number of children a woman would bear if present age-specific fertility rates prevailed over her lifetime. So basically, they are the sum of the age-specific birth rates for the five-year age groups multiplied by five. And the replacement rate is a total fertility rate of 2.1. So basically it takes a couple has to have 2.1 kids in order to reproduce themselves in the population. And actually total fertility rates, one of the reasons we use it is because it's a really good rate to compare fertility between groups and over time. So that's one of the main reasons we included it. The data sources are, the bulk of the data is from the California Birth Statistical Master File. We also looked at fetal deaths and a little bit of death data. And the population denominators that we used is the NCHS bridged race estimates and the public use micro data sample, PUMS data. So this basically shows the total fertility rates for Los Angeles County, California, and the United States from 1990 to 2020. So as you can see, in 1990, the total fertility rate for LAC, this is LA County residents, is in red, and it's at the highest compared to the other groups. And it begins to drop, and basically around 2000, it's about the same for all three geographies. And then it continues to drop into like a 2013, so that it is the lowest total fertility rate amongst all three of these groups. By mother's race, ethnicity, the biggest drops are in Hispanic Latina women. In 1990, the TFR was 3.6, and it fell to just above replacement at 2.2. And for African American women, the rate is 2.6 in 1990, and it also falls quite a bit to 1.7. For white and Asian Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander women, the rate is pretty low, and it's below replacement to begin with, but falls even further to 1.3 in 2010. When we add the component of nativity, there's also, we notice that there's also very big differences, which is no surprise. So for Hispanic women, it's the middle bars. There's a real big difference between whether a Hispanic woman is foreign-born or native-born in Los Angeles. So there's a fall of 4.3 TFR in 1990 to 2.9. And I also wanted just to point out that for Asian women and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander women, the TFR is very low in 2010. It's 1.1. And those are comparable with some of the lowest rates in the world. So we have I don't know if it's a unique experience in Los Angeles County, but they are very low. And now for age-specific rates. So these are not TFRs, these are age-specific rates. The rate has declined most for teens, and that's not a phenomenon that's unique for the United States. It's for the nation overall. But the rates have fallen quite a bit. That's followed by a drop for 20 to 24-year-olds, and then for 25 to 29-year-olds. And there's a slight increase for 30 to 34-year-olds starting in 2000, going to 2010. And then generally, all the rates increase for mothers over the age of 35. The increases are gradual, but they're constant over time. So this is related to the mean age at first birth. There was an increase between 1990 and 2012 of about 3 years, from 25 to 27. And for white women and Asian Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders, the rate is, mean age is 31, which is higher than the national average. Mean age is lower for Hispanic women and for African American women, but there is an increase of 2 years over that period. Okay, so now I'm going to just talk about some of the birth outcomes and the impacts that are associated with this. So the first one is a positive one. There's definitely been a lower number of teen births. So if you were to apply, hypothetically, the 2000 age-specific birth rates to the population of women in Los Angeles County in 2010, you would have 7,000 additional teen births, so in 1 year. So there has been a really big decrease in the number of teen births. And so this is associated with outcomes for that group. So there will be a fewer number of preterm births and a fewer number of low birth weight births. And also, there's an associated public cost with teen births. So the campaign for teen and unplanned pregnancy estimated that there was about a cost of $1,682, a public cost for every teen birth for every year. So that public cost is reduced. So now to talk about kind of more the adverse birth outcomes. And these are associated with basically what I was talking about with the increase in the maternal age of mothers in Los Angeles County. So essentially, there's more difficulty in reproducing, but then there's also more adverse outcomes to babies and to the moms that are giving birth. So the adverse outcomes to babies are a greater risk of low birth weight, macrosomia, prematurity, fetal death, and congenital anomalies. So I'm going to be presenting data for 7 years worth of data for Los Angeles County. We are a huge county, so over the 7 years, there was just a little bit under 1 million births. So we have a lot of data to work with. And I just wanted to point out that even though the increases of the birth rate, age-specific birth rates, were not very high in the older age groups, they represent a lot of births. So for the 35 to 39-year-olds over that seven-year period, there were 150,000 births. And for 40 to 44-year-olds, there was roughly 40,000. For 45 to 49-year-olds, there was 3,000. And there was also, I think, even for 50 to 54-year-olds, there was about 300 births over that time period. Here is the percentage of births, both early preterm and early preterm, by maternal age. So as you can see, and also the numbers underneath the age labels are the number of cases, the number of births that have this condition. So So the rates, the percentages increase with maternal age, so that fully 25% of births to mothers over the age of 45 and 49 are premature. And it's also the case with low birth weights, which again begins at the age of 30 to 34. And the fetal mortality ratio, this is the number of fetal deaths to 1,000 live births. It's also, it's highest at that for teens, but it's higher for teens and younger mothers, but it's also definitely starts to increase for older ages. And there's also adverse birth outcomes to the mothers that are giving birth. So they are at a greater risk compared to younger mothers of having gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, cesarean section delivery, pregnancy-induced hypertension, and maternal death. Again, this is looking at the same data. This is the percent of births by a mother's age with gestational diabetes. This is a preeclampsia. Again, that increases is starting at 30 to 34, but it's pretty high for 45 to 49-year-olds. And this is the percentage of births with primary cesarean delivery. Fully 40% of mothers in Los Angeles County that were between the ages of 45 and 49 had a primary cesarean delivery. And this is also for first, this is first births. And the last one I want to show is maternal mortality ratio. The numbers are quite small, thankfully. But as you can see, for mothers, I think it's 40 to 49, the ratio is four times greater than the group before it. So just some policy and interventions to consider, looking at at mothers, the fact that mothers of older age are having more children, is to increase surveillance of older mothers and detect early signs of adverse pregnancy, and to conduct further studies to develop strategies to reduce poor outcomes and prioritize care, and also to expand public health education to include the optimal age of childbearing and the consequences of delay. So another policy intervention to consider is one that's kind of more on a societal scale, which is to think about intergenerational equity policies that might encourage younger adults to have children, to basically reduce the age of childbearing. And these are kind of larger goals, with securing good paying jobs, easier home ownership, and reducing college debt. These are all kind of thresholds that people, that young adults might consider doing or fulfilling before they start having families. And then the other one is also to help families with their quality of life, which is by providing subsidized high-quality preschool and child care. So that's pretty much going to end my talk. I wanted to thank Dr. Douglas Fry, Dr. Alex Ho, and Dr. Margaret Shee for helping with this, and I do have this report that we wrote on this if anybody's interested in a copy at the end. Thank you.